I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, not a bad day for Dorrance Armstrong. Not a bad day for the defense, comparatively, anyway, from recent games. But it wasn't all great, but we are on the list of things that I liked from the game as part of the game take. So I continue. Obviously, the offense, historic here over the last 3 weeks. The quarterback, historic through the first four games. Brian Robinson Jr., McNichols, the O-line, several of the receivers. And now let's focus on some of the things that were good defensively yesterday. Look, overall, you know, and I said this about Monday night too, and even the Giant game. I feel like the effort, the urgency, the speed, I think that's been there since, you know, the opener anyway, where there was a lot of confusion. There was too much confusion in Tampa, and still a little bit against New York as well. But they just haven't been very good. But they did some good things yesterday. And I'm going to start with this because I think this was crucial in sort of the taking of the any kind of hope or spirit that Arizona had. Like Arizona, what went right down the field on that opening drive, and I'm sure they thought, okay, we're going to be in a shootout. We've watched these guys on tape. We can move it at will against this team. And I think what happened was, and what turned it, is first down, the defense made some plays, and that created second and long situations, which Arizona, for some reason, decided that they would just drop their quarterback at 5'7" back into the pocket and have him survey and try to throw. It's the worst thing he does. Now, part of that was the defense playing contain rush and getting after him and being aggressive. But I can't believe in the game that Kyler Murray had one rush for 3 yards. Think about that. You've watched this guy. One rush for 3 yards. He didn't look interested in running. Again, I'm going to give the defense some of the credit on that. I'm also going to say thank you to Arizona for A, not running the ball more, and B, not having him do what he does best, which is just start running around. You know, he starts running around like it's, you know, pick up, you know, flag football or touch football in a parking lot and make plays, because he's not effective because he can't see from the pocket. And so after that opening drive where they got filleted, and they're down 7-0. They came up with big-time first-down plays on basically the next five Cardinal drives that really made an impact. After the opening drive, the next five drives were stops by the defense, which included 4 second and 10s that they put him in, and then they had a second and 26 as well. There was a penalty and a sack in there. The defense got run on a ton, but second and longs were the death of Arizona's offense and the end of Arizona's offense in the game. So the defense gets credit for, after getting completely sliced and diced on that opening drive, they made some big time plays on first down, including a couple of, you know, stops on Connor, who pretty much had his way all day with them. And then for some reason, Arizona decided to drop their 5'4" quarterback back into the pocket. Thank you. More on the defense. Again, urgency, fast, physical. Pass rush was the best it's been really since the opener, but they actually got home. Did a nice job of keeping Murray in the pocket, where Arizona seemed content with keeping him as well. Big reason for the 4 sacks. And, it was not necessarily a contain rush. You know, they got after him. I liked Witt Jr.'s aggressiveness after some of those first down stops. He came after Murray on second down with some aggression. So he wasn't messing around, really. There was a couple of sequences in the game. There was a sequence that I thought was kind of important. I mean, look, 42-14, nothing's really super important. You know, if the game ends 27-14, okay, maybe a play or two or a sequence or two were impactful. But Arizona's third drive, they had a 2nd and 4, and Chin made a really good tackle on Higgins, who was in there for McBride, and it was a yard short of the sticks. And then on 3rd and 1, Noah I, number one, made a really good pass breakup on the slant to Wilson. Why they were throwing the football there, have no idea. Have no idea why you would throw the ball on 3rd and 1 against Washington's run defense. Specifically players, Dorrance Armstrong. I liked what Dorrance Armstrong did, not just with the actual getting home. I thought he pressured right from the jump on Kyler Murray, forced him out of the pocket a couple of times. I mean, in some ways, it's like keep him in the pocket. He can't do anything there. But I thought Dorrance Armstrong really shined. He had a sack and a half, but he had even more pressures. Luvu, Wagner, Chin all stood out to me. This is one of those where, you know, you'll go back and you'll watch defensively. I thought Forbes, I don't have the snap counts, I haven't looked for him yet, Denton, but Forbes was in there a bunch. And I think he's going to grade out maybe better than he has. I thought he had some sticky coverage. And so, yeah, I mean, defensively, those would be the names that, you know, in the jersey numbers that kind of stood out. I thought Jonathan Allen had maybe one of his better games, because I think of the two tackles through the first three games, I think Allen was a bit more of the issue than Duran was. Yeah, I'm just looking through my notes defensively.
I do have those snaps if you want them on Forbes.
Yeah, what percentage of the snaps did Forbes play?
He played 33 snaps, which was 56%.
Yeah, so he played a lot. He played a lot. And I, you know, this is one of those you got to go back and look at it. But I thought I made a couple of notes here to say sticky coverage a couple of times with Forbes. You know, confidence is such a big thing. I think he's got talent. I know he is super, you know, skinny and light, but he just has had a major confidence crisis going back to last year. And, you know, I almost want to just put it on JDR and Rivera for you know, putting him on guys like A.J. Brown as a rookie. I mean, and getting absolutely torched, as many corners do in the league. Oh, one note yesterday, could be me and maybe, but I made this note. I think Benjamin St. Juice was pretty much on Marvin Harrison Jr. for much of the day. I think maybe there were a couple of formations where they had Harrison Jr. in the slot and maybe Noah Igbinoghetti was matched up against him, but I thought I saw Benjamin St. Juice moving with wherever number 18 was. But yeah, defense overall, look, a major step forward against an opponent that seemed willing to help. Special teams-wise, I mean, Seibert has yet to miss a kick, knock on wood. Tressway punted. Hey, boomed it 51 yards. Ben Sinnott had a really good tackle for what turned out to be a net 47-yard punt. Couple of really good hits in coverage, including one by Colson Yankoff on a kickoff, number 41. Good punt return by Zacchaeus, 16 yards. They gave up the big kickoff return in special teams to start the game, and they forced a fumble, and they couldn't jump on it, so Arizona started the first drive from their own 45-yard line. But still, a really good, you know, day for special teams. And look, Seibert has been a godsend. I mean, he has not missed. In fact, I don't think he's been close to missing. Everything is pretty much dead center. So that's the list of things that I liked. Let me get to a couple of the things that I did not like. So I mentioned this. I'm still, you know, concerned about the defense. And the reason I'm concerned about the defense is it cannot stop the run. They got run on again. Third straight game. Really, it's 3.5 games if you go back to the opener, Bucky Irving and Rashad White in the second half. James Conner, who is, I think, a very underrated back. 18 carries, 104 yards, and a touchdown. Why they didn't give it to him more, I have no idea. Trey Benson, 9 carries, 50 yards. DeMarcado, 4 carries, 24 yards. The quarterback was not a part of their rush offense, and they had 181 yards rushing, 5.7 yards per carry. You're not going to go deep into the season. And I'm talking about, yes, the season that starts after the regular season, when you can't stop the run. Oh my God, what is Derrick Henry going to do to this team in 2 weeks? Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry. I mean, I don't think you really, even against a loaded box, need to stop running it against this team. They made some plays, and they made some plays on first downs after the opening drive, and that's big. This isn't a great team, though, that they're facing. You know, and it was a team that's banged up offensively, too. But I'm very concerned with them right now. Let's see where it ranks in terms of rush defense. It's got to be near the bottom, Denton. They just are getting gashed. So it's not the bottom, 23rd in the league in rush defense. So, you know, yards per carry, they are next to last. So that's more important, really. They're giving up 5.3 yards per carry. That's 31st in the league, rush defense-wise. What are the reasons? Really good question. They're clearly not good enough in their front seven. It certainly seems like that they have some gap issues and some discipline issues and some overrunning issues, you know, even when they've brought Chin or somebody else down into the box. There's been some tackling issues. Luvu missed Conner at one point in the backfield, although I really do like Luvu a lot. But they're terrible against the run, and they were again yesterday, and I think that they were lucky, not that they would have lost the game, but they were lucky that Arizona, on a couple of occasions after the first drive, decided to drop their 5'2" quarterback back into the pocket, you know? And again, good job by the rush, contain rush, but also being aggressive, and obviously they confused him a lot. He gets confused very easily, but I don't think I would have stopped giving number six the football in that game had I been Arizona. I mean, Connor's legit good, and he was having his way. And then Benson came in and had his way. By the way, I kept saying to my son, yeah, that's the guy that was at Texas. No, that was the guy that was at Florida State. Cedric Benson many years ago was at Texas. Getting my Bensons confused. And then the other thing on the list of things that I did not like is you still are going to need more takeaways. They are next to last in the league with 2 total takeaways in the season. They got that late one, fumble. I mean, the game was already over. But, you know, they called it down by contact on the field. Good challenge by the head coach, and it was overturned. And they almost had an opportunity on the opening kickoff. I actually think, even though that was a big return, they've got some hitters on special teams in coverage. You're going to have to get more takeaways against the better teams. The 2 takeaways in 4 games, it's only offset by the fact that they haven't given the ball away just once in 4 games. They're +1 in the turnover margin, and you rarely see a +1 through 4 games with just 2 takeaways and 1 giveaway. Because, I mean, the only thing that would create a +1 that's less than that would be 1 takeaway and 0 giveaways. But they got to come up with more takeaways. It's going to be hard to do that when you're getting gashed and you got quarterbacks that can actually throw the football with a running game. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, what was Kyler Murray ultimately? 16 of 22, 142 yards, 1 touchdown, 4 sacks. Could have been more than that. Had a 28.3 QBR. Not very good. Jaden, 89.5 QBR. That's pretty damn good on a scale of 0 to 100. The other observations from the game, I mentioned this kind of already. I really do like some of the under center stuff that they're running. And then I was so glad to see when they scored that touchdown on the throw to Terry McLaurin to make it 33-14 that they went for two, because there are teams that only kind of consider these things in one or two score games and kind of get lost in, it's a blowout. Doesn't matter if we kick it and we're up 20. Well, it does matter in case the other team puts together three scoring drives. You always, late in the game, up by 19, go for the two to try to make it 21. They did, and they converted. They seem to be converting everything right now, and it accounted for the 42 points rather than the 41. All right, your turn, 301-230-0980. This team is 3-1. They are in sole possession. Excuse me, that was a hiccup. Sole possession of first place in the NFC East. They are 3.5-point favorites over the Browns on Sunday at FedEx. I would imagine this will be a good crowd, maybe the best crowd since the opener last year when we were all there in a celebratory fashion that Snyder was gone. But you got a star right now at the most important position in sports. You got a home game against Cleveland, and there's an opportunity to extend that to 4-1. And let me just mention, you know, as you look ahead, you know, and it's hard to do with schedule, playing the schedule game, and I'm not a big schedule game player, but Dallas has to go at Pittsburgh, Detroit at home, at 49ers, at Falcons before they get the Eagles, Texans, and then finally play us. The Eagles, after getting absolutely demolished yesterday, they have the Giants and the Jags in two of their next three. They've got a game in Cincinnati in 2 weeks before they get to their first in Dallas and then their first against us on a Thursday night, November 14th. But there's a chance here to extend it even further on Sunday with a win over Cleveland. All right, your turn. Phone lines open, 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And then with the O-line, we've seen it kind of incrementally get better week by week by week. What have you seen from the group and kind of what has been, has there been anything that's been kind of the linchpin to that improvement?
Well, that's a good one. I think it's probably been for a while. It was in camp, and we're working through, and we had some injuries and trying to, you know, still work through that, and we're still, you know, doing some rotating at the tackle spot, and that's not the worst thing, you know, to have guys and depth and going, but I thought Nick and Sam and, you know, Tyler inside were really strong all the way through to make sure when we have our chances and get our runs and completions high like they were today, that gives us a real advantage, you know, because then time of possession shifts and ways that you can go through that. So although it's no huddle, there's a lot of attacking and tempo and way we can change some of that. And it makes it difficult to prepare for, honestly, because there's no huddle and then you're changing tempos and then you huddle and come out with different groups. So the guys have really been putting in the work. It's a lot to go through to get the guys ready for the week. But like I said, for the big guys, that was our kind of day.
Yeah, I like what he said there because it's been true really in all four games. You know, we saw it back in the preseason, remember, in that first preseason game, the no huddle, not necessarily to go up tempo, but sometimes to go up tempo, sometimes not to go up tempo. Sometimes they huddle, sometimes they play very quickly. This is only achievable with a quarterback that has real high IQ as a football player, and real poise and the ability clearly to learn quickly. I mean, this is quick study stuff. And yes, I am sure there are elements to this offense that are simplified, and as they should be. That's good coaching with a young quarterback. But you don't have to have that for this guy. And I like a lot of what they've done. And the offensive line has been, you know, like you said, they felt good about their interior with Biotis and Allegretti and Cosmi, and then the tackles. I still don't have the snap count. I can go pull it up, though. At this point, it's up. But I'm going to assume that Coleman and Lucas both played a lot. I don't know if it was a complete switching out, but they were both in there a bunch. Here, I do want to look at that to see what they did yesterday with the tackles.
It was 59-49, 37-35 split.
Yeah, 51-49. Yeah, 51-40, almost dead even. Lucas, 37 snaps at tackle. Coleman, 35 snaps at tackle. I should mention this, too. I don't know if I did this. I don't think I did. The receivers are committed to blocking, too. Noah Brown's block sealing the edge on the 9-yard QB counter for a touchdown was outstanding. All right, your turn. What did you think? 301-230-0980. We don't talk on this show on, you know, September 30th about how we're really excited about 2025 and 2026 and what Jaden can be. He's him now, right now. And this team offensively has been unstoppable. There are better opponents coming, no doubt, on defense. But this season is totally in play nearly a quarter through it. Let's start with Anthony in D.C. Anthony, go ahead.
How you doing, Kevin?
What's up, Anthony?
So I want to channel Harry Douglas for a second.
That what did he say?
Boy, he has a segment on ESPN called That Boy Bad.
The receiver, right?
You don't know about it. Yeah, the receiver. Okay. He did the Defenders games also. But let me interject a little bit of reality. With all the turnover of the roster, the holes that need to be filled, I've been of the mindset that any success for this year and next year is all gravy. Come the third year, they better be ready to rock and roll.
Okay.
Now I'm excited about what's going on and everything, but it's obvious we need a freak on the, either the defensive line or in the backfield to go with Lubu, and we need some corners. So keep the enthusiasm, but look at it from a reality standpoint. We still have a lot of holes to fill.
Yes, but the reality also includes you may have a quarterback playing at an elite level right now. Actually, he is playing at an elite level right now. And that carries the day in 2024 in the NFL. And you're in sole possession of first place. And I hear you. I understand what they need. I mean, when we get to whenever the final day of the season is, hopefully sometime in mid to late January, and that's optimistic. I think they've got limitations, clearly. And I want to see it against much better teams, too, before we get overly excited. Bottom line is they beat a pretty good team on Monday night in a game that team desperately needed to get. That was a memorable win. But I know when we get to mid to late January, we're going to be talking about corner. We're going to be talking about pass rusher. We may be talking about receiver. But not on September 30th. They're 3-1. They got a big home game. If they can beat, is Deshaun Watson potentially going to get benched? Did I read that?
It'd
be Jameis Winston.
It'd be Jameis, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it would be Jameis.
Let's go to Ray and Frederick. Ray, go ahead.
All right, bye. Be $12, please.
Got to turn down your radio, Ray.
Hey. Sorry,
Kevin. You're on, Ray.
A couple of things.
Yep.
Okay, number one, did you see the Wildcat play? I love that play.
Yep, they've run it a couple times this season. Brian Robinson Jr.,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and it looks like we have our Kobe, because if he is playing and doing the back stuff that he's doing, nothing can stop him. Nothing. And I think that's the greatest thing. We're going to get a statue very soon if he continues to play. Thank you, Kevin, for taking my call.
Okay, Ray. Let's go to Kenny in Charlotte. Kenny, go ahead.
What's up, Kev?
Hey, Kenny. What's going on, man?
Ain't too much, man. I want to give a quick shout out to some unsung heroes like Anthony Lynn because of the running
game. Great
call. Yes. As well as I think there needs to be some sort of mea culpa across the board as it pertains to the onslaught against the offensive line preseason and the coach that came from the Giants who everybody questioned why.
Yeah.
You know, Johnson. Was he hired? Yep. Yeah, you know, I feel like now within four games, it's pretty easy to say that, you know, that was a mistake. You know what I mean? Or just a bad call overall. I'm happy about, you know, what they're doing. And one of the things that I want to ask you personally is, what do you say to all of those people that said, you know, Quinn was just another Rivera? Analytically, because there were so many similarities between Quinn and Rivera, what would you say is the single most difference as to, you know, because they're so much alike, why is Quinn winning and Rivera not or didn't?
Because Rivera worked for Dan Snyder, and Dan Quinn isn't.
Wow.
It's that simple.
That simple?
Now, we can get into, you know, Rivera, you know, maybe the game passed him a little bit. Maybe he wasn't good in this area, et cetera. No one who ever came here and worked for Dan Snyder succeeded. Nobody. Not even Joe Gibbs, who had a losing record. Everybody left looking worse than when they came in. Ron Rivera was not a terrible head coach in Carolina. Ron Rivera came in, remember, too, single easiest answer is he worked for Snyder, Quinn isn't. Second easiest part of the answer is Ron Rivera wasn't the head coach. He was the head coach, he was the general manager, he was the face of the franchise during a horrific stretch, and that's saying something because it was all horrific over 25 years. Quinn's in a stable organization with a general manager, a supportive owner, and he's being asked to coach the team. That sums it up, I think, pretty much. Thanks for the call. Let's go to G. G from the shop. What's up, Shawty?
Man, we like that, Shawty. Man, we like that. And somebody called talking about we got a lot of holes and what's the difference between Ron Rivera and Dan Quinn. This is the first time we done looked prepared in September, man. We look like a football team that be really getting coached in practice for the games, man. We look prepared, Ken. September, it took Ron Rivera till like the middle of November to look like they even practiced at all. And
we don't have to talk about Rivera. Let's just focus on this team right now. We got a team that is a legitimate playoff contender.
I ain't saying all that right now because, you know, it's week to week. We got Cleveland. I'm on the Doc Walker joint. We got Cleveland. That's all we worried about right now. Thinking about playoffs. We ain't thinking
about
it. Nobody
does week to week better than me. But we don't need to go back and talk about Rivera and what he didn't do. That's yesterday's news. Let's focus on this team right now, which right now has one of the best offenses in the league and a quarterback playing at an elite level.
No, we do got to bring it up for the simple fact Ron Rivera had high contracts on the roster. He had quarterbacks bringing in every daggone season. We didn't play break the bank in free agency this year. We got people that was affordable and that we could plug in and play right away to get us through this year. We ain't break the bank for no high-priced free agents, but that's what I'm talking about. We look prepared with these people that we paid in the bargain bin. Man, I called Brian Robinson to have 100 yards. Cliff Kingsbury went on the revenge tour out Arizona. It looked like Jaden is doing a revenge tour against any Heisman Trophy winner. He plans on putting up high school basketball numbers. We put up 80 points in the last two games, man. Hey, man, I'm not tempering, nothing. I'm not coming back to reality. I'm living in reality right now, and I'm juiced because we like that. We finally like that, and they can do all the adjusting in the world, but they ain't figured out how to shut Lamar Jackson down on the daily. So we got one of them ones. I love it, Kevin. Hail to the Redskins, and man, rest in peace, Dikembe Mutombo.
Oh,
man.
My God. I, when Denton broke that news, that's so sad. For those of you just joining, man, Dikembe Mutombo passed away, brain cancer, at the age of 58 years old.
Breaks my
Georgetown
heart.
Legend.
Breaks my heart, Kevin, because
I know
you a Maryland dude, but
I mean, I know too many people in that Georgetown family, and I know that this one hits hard for sure.
No, it hits hard because he helped raise me. I was a little kid going to Georgetown games, watching Alonzo Mourning and Mutombo start together, man. So, man, helped raise me, man. Prayers to the Mutombo family.
Yeah.
Love you, Sam.
I'm with you. By the way, just switching subjects, and that's so sad. And heartfelt sympathies to everybody, you know, in that Georgetown family, for sure. But I'm just trying to think real quickly. They opened up with a Heisman Trophy winner in Baker Mayfield, right? Week two, they didn't play a Heisman Trophy winner. Week three, they did in Joe Burrow. Yesterday, they did in Kyler Murray. Deshaun Watson was not a Heisman Trophy winner, but if Jameis Winston starts, it'll be another Heisman Trophy winner, followed by Lamar Jackson, another Heisman winner. And who knows, maybe Bryce Young will be back in the lineup for the Panthers. That would be another Heisman winner, followed by Caleb Williams, which would be another Heisman winner. There's no way any team's ever played or potentially had in the offing this many Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks on their schedule. And, of course, their own quarterback is a Heisman Trophy winner. Deshaun Watson didn't win it, right? That was was that Lamar Jackson?
Yeah.
Or was that Marcus?
Lamar beat Deshaun Watson in the year that they were close.
Yeah, okay. That's crazy, isn't it? Let's go to Joe in Springfield. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, what's going on?
Hey, Joe.
Yeah, and also real quick, that's devastating about the Kevin Mutombo. I've always loved Coach Thompson, all the guys he coached. I mean, oh, my God, 58 years old. Jeez Louise. All right, what I liked, you know, it's only his fourth game, and I'm taking it one game at a time as you do. Jaden Daniels continues to shine. He's not making too many mistakes. And when he has to go to plan B, that works well too, when he has to run the ball instead of having to throw a pass. Brian Robinson continues to be a workhorse. And by the way, can we please tip our hat to Cliff Kingsbury? I mean, how great has he been calling plays and mix it up? And he even did a wild card to Robinson yesterday too. Frankie Louvu continues to shine. I love Frankie Louvu just as much as you do, Kevin. He has been a disruptor on there. Jonathan Allen, Deron Payne, I mean, they came out this week. They were able to shut down Kyler Murray week by week. What I didn't like, and I'm really stressed out about this, Kevin, the running game against us. Oh, my God, Kevin. After last night watching Baltimore light up against Buffalo, that is not going to be fun in 2 weeks, and who knows what happens against Cleveland. And side note, can we please take the time to go back for a second? Dan Quinn and Adam Pearce were hired here, and they said they're ready to win right now. We're like, wait a minute, it's going to take a while after what we just went through. But, and again, it's early, week by week, but look what they've done, and they're showing this is what we got, this is the roster we have, we put this together, we're ready to go right here, right now. I always have the Joe Gibbs mentality of taking one game at a time. It's going to be another tough couple of weeks coming up, but right now I like what I see. We'll see what happens coming up, because Cleveland, Baltimore will be tough, and then we got Pittsburgh and Philadelphia come November. So we'll see what happens, but take care, Kevin.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. The run defense is, like, you look at Baltimore, and so the last couple of games we've said, all right, the best defense will be our offense to keep our defense off the field, especially when we were playing, you know, Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase as an example. You know what teams are going to start saying about Washington is we have to stay on the field offensively. We don't want to face their offense. And they've got a way to stay on the field, and that is to lean heavily on the run when they can lean heavily on the run. Cleveland's run game has been sort of a mix of Jerome Ford and Deshaun Watson. They don't have Nick Chubb back yet. And then Baltimore, of course, I mean, they rushed for 271 yards last night against Buffalo. I mean, Derrick Henry, by the way, he should be right now climbing the board on MVP conversation. Derrick Henry, 24 carries, 99 last night with our dual threat quarterback who just ran for 9 yards per carry as well. His last two games, Derrick Henry's gone 49 carries for 350 yards in the last two games. That's two games away, though. Let's go to Eric. Eric, go ahead. Thanks for holding.
No problem, Sam. I know your show. Hey, I really think Jalen got a good chance at the MVP. I think we're going to keep it up. I can't see us really losing more than six games, to be honest, and that's probably going to be the Eagles, Falcons, Ravens, Saints, and maybe one more unexpected. And those games are all winnable for us. And I want to hear what you think about trading John Allen and what we might can get back for returning.
All right. Thanks for the call, Eric. None of these – we talk about this all the time for years now. Every week is a new week in the NFL. However, you know, this is a situation where I think it was Ernie Accorsi who said, when we get on the bus with Johnny Unitas, we know we got a dude that we can win with. And right now, for the first time in a long, long time, when they get on the team bus from the team hotel and they start heading to the stadium, they got a dude that plays quarterback that they all are super confident in. There's nobody on the schedule that they're not going to have a chance against with this guy playing at this level at quarterback. Are there better teams? Yes. Are there ways to attack Washington defensively? Of course. But we're getting way ahead of ourselves. It's like Cleveland beat the Browns at home. You're favored to win that game. Cleveland, you know, has some turmoil for sure with Deshaun Watson. By the way, you got Philly on the schedule twice. That place may be about to erupt with Nick Sirianni and company up there. Lots of things look, you know, right now favorable, but it changes in the NFL. We understand that. But, you know, the talent and the production from the quarterback, there will be a couple of games, I'm sure, where we say, all right, rookie quarterback. We haven't had that game yet through four. Let's go to Dan in Laurel. Dan, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hi, Dan.
Dan, we got some issues with your phone.
Having fun.
Hold on.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Dan, we missed the beginning. Go ahead.
Here I am. You got me,
Gotcha.
You got me? All right. Anyway, that game was super fun. I loved watching it. I loved watching that dude. JD Daniels. Damn, that guy can flow like water. That guy was like air, dude. And I want to say ha-ha to Snyder. Ha-ha to Snyder, because, first of all, hail to the team formerly known as the Redskins. Because that Dan Snyder took the Redskins name, and I'm not going to get over it. So I'm going to talk about it every day I can to all the people I can. But anyway, ha-ha, poetic justice.
Okay.
The new owners. The new season got a franchise quarterback, something you never could do. So, ha ha, eat that. Okay. And good night.
All right. Thanks, Dan, for the call. Let's go to Walter and Laurel. Walter, go ahead. Thanks for holding.
Hello, you guys.
We're struggling with the calls here. I can't, on the day after an absolute flawless performance
with a quarterback, Kevin,
that has had an historic start. Got to get some enthusiasm with these calls. No ha-ha
yes,
Snyder. Who cares about him right now?
Yeah, who cares, right?
Have picked Daniels, that's for sure. He would have wanted to pick the local kid who played well yesterday for Chicago. Go ahead, Walter.
they would have ruined it, and they would have ruined Daniels as well. But I haven't been on here for a while, Kevin. But yes, I'm back, and you know what? I'm all in, like you. Let's think about the now and what they're doing now, because from one season to the next, things can change. And if you're doing the right things, like Dan Quinn is, and the OC, of course, and the players are literally, you know, getting into this and chiming in and getting their daily routines in with Jaden Daniels as the commander, I think everything else is going to fall in place like it has been week to week, like these guys say. But I'm with it. I'm on it. Let's ride the wave. And the other thing I wanted to say was, Kevin, was that even though our success is right now and other people are thinking about the future, this is the future. So whatever's happening now, it's going to get better. Obviously, every week it's gotten better.
We can all assume that this isn't the best that we're going to see, but you know, I was reading our guy Bill Barnwell earlier this morning. We had Bill on the show on Friday, and you know, he talked about this. You know, the stat of conversion rates, you know, which measures how often teams take the ball on first down and turn that series of plays into another first down or a touchdown without turning the ball over or punting. And he had the following. He said the Commanders have pulled this off 85.3% of the time this season. And when you compare that to every team since 2007, what they're doing over the first four weeks, it's the fifth best mark for that particular number ever. But here's the most important thing. The top four, the 2021 Chiefs, the 2007 Patriots, the 2020 Packers, okay, and just behind Washington, the 2015 Patriots, the 2019 Ravens, the 2018 Chiefs, and the 2013 Broncos. You know what's what those teams have in common? They're all quarterbacked by Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the future, or more likely quarterbacks that will be in the Hall of Fame. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Peyton Manning, and Aaron Rodgers. And now the other team in this conversation, Jaden Daniels. See, it's not just that they're scoring points. It's not just that they've won three games over the Giants, the Bengals, and the Cardinals. It's that what they are doing offensively is such high-level stuff. And I would add, they're not doing it in big explosive plays. They're capable of making big explosive plays, and they've had a couple. But it's just precision, and it's methodical, and it's high-level execution. It's managing the game. It's down and distance management. And then they're capable of overcoming almost anything. They're capable of overcoming first and 20, second and 15. And they're not afraid to overcome those things. There's just a lot that you look at as an NFL fan about what they've done in these first 4 weeks, and you're like, oh my God, like it's ridiculous high-level efficiency and production. And the number one reason for it is the quarterback. And probably the number two reason for it is the coordinator. And they are clearly in sync. Again, will it happen against Baltimore's defense or Cleveland's defense? Myles Garrett did play yesterday. He had two sacks against the Raiders. Will it happen against the Steelers when they play the Steelers? We'll see. They have not played a dominant defense, although Tampa's is pretty good, and they struggled against Tampa. It was the first game. Maybe they'd look different against Tampa, you know, if they had Tampa on the schedule this week. But this is offensive football at an efficiency and a production level like you've only seen from some of the great offensive teams of the last 15 years. It's a small sample size, though. There is that. All right, we got to take a break, right? Let's take one. Stay on the phones. We'll take a few more calls, and then Ben Standing will jump on with us at 12. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Big one for the Commanders yesterday. They blow out Arizona in the desert 42-14. They're 3-1 for the first time to start a season since 2000. and 11. Jaden Daniels, 233 yards passing on 26 of 30. Did have his first interception, also had a passing touchdown to Terry McLaurin. He added 47 yards and a touchdown on 8 carries on the ground. Brian Robinson goes over 100 yards, 21 carries, 101 for him and a touchdown. Jeremy McNichols filling in for Austin Eckler, carried the ball 8 times, scored on 2 of those 8 carries. That's a pretty good ratio to have. The Commanders now sit alone atop the NFC East standings. On Sunday night, just right up 95, the Ravens shred the Buffalo Bills 35-10 to improve to 2-2 on the year, handing Buffalo its first loss of the season. In Major League Baseball, Nationals end their season with a 6-3 loss to the Phillies. They finished the year 71-91. And then some unfortunate news out of the NBA. NBA superstar and Georgetown legend Dikembe Mutombo passed away at the age of 58 due to brain cancer. And that's what's trending.
Change in his game. He picked up 6. Jeremy McNichols turns the corner for a first down. McNichols powering inside the 5. Down the sideline, and that's going to be a Washington touchdown. What a run from Jeremy McNichols.
Second drive of the game, like on Monday night, that ended with a long touchdown run by the other back. It was Eckler against the Bengals. It was McNichols for 27 yards against Arizona. That was a 13-play, 93-yard drive that took 7 minutes and 21 seconds. They had the lead, and they never looked back. 42-14 on a short week out in Arizona against a team that isn't very good but had competed pretty well in the first 3 games of the season. Washington is 3-1. They are in sole possession of first place in the NFC East. A couple of more calls, and then we'll get to Ben Standig coming up. Aveen has been on hold. Aveen, try to go quickly. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, Kevin. How many quarterbacks can make that throw Jaden Daniels made to McCaffrey? Maybe Mahomes, Allen, Rodgers, Stafford, maybe Herbert.
Yep. Yep.
I'm not going to say that Daniels is, you know, flat out the best quarterback in the NFC, but he's the most talented. You know, guys like Jordan Love were being really hyped up, but they don't even have the level of decision making and diagnosis and processing that he's shown. It just stands out.
It so stands out. Yeah, I mean, you could probably say he's the most gifted talent-wise in terms of everything, including the dual threat part of it, of any of the quarterbacks in the NFC. Now, you know who played pretty well yesterday? Caleb played pretty well yesterday. You know what? It's early to come to a conclusion on young quarterbacks, including ours, but man, there are really good signs. Paulie, go ahead.
L to the W, man. Yeah. Big guy, how you doing, man? Yeah. Hey, I'm going to start off this real quick, man. You know, I'm already living with a heavy heart, man, so you know, prayers to the Mutombo family, yes, man. Prayers to London Fletcher and his family, too, man.
Yes.
You know what
London
I mean?
London lost his wife, for those that don't know. So sad.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, you know, prayers, man. And I hope at some point, you know, the football season could be therapy for him as it is for me right now. Yeah. I'm going to say this about this team. Let me touch on all 3 real quick, man. Pause. Listen. Any place, anybody, any place, any time. And I'm starting to feel that. I'm starting to feel what Dan's vision is. Because this team, especially on offense, is dynamic and it's physical. And it's led by the offensive line and the running game. Like, you know, the defense likes to stick their chest out and be bravado. You see that most of the time. But you see this coming from the offensive line. You see these guys celebrating on the sidelines, celebrating on the field after a big run, a big play. And that's what's leading us right now. This O-line mixed in with Jaden Daniels being Jaden Daniels, man. And I like how Kingsbury is just not saying, okay, I see I got a quarterback, so I'm just going to drop him back and throw the ball every
right
play. No. Everything is built around a run. And I appreciate that about Kingsbury. Because it would be real easy to fall into the Eric Bieniemy trap of throwing the ball 50 times a game. You know what I mean? So I appreciate that about Kingsbury and that offense, man. Defense, man, like I said, as long as we can get better each week on defense, we'll be all right. It's not going to happen all in one game and all at one time. Each week, let's get better at something. You know what I see we got better at this week? Coverage. A lot of people didn't know Forbes was out there balling yesterday because we didn't hear his name called too much.
I want to watch nope. him to see what those snaps looked like. I thought there were a couple of plays where he was there, but there were a lot of plays I didn't see. Look, we got helped a little bit by the guy that's like 4'11" playing quarterback, and they got him in the pocket. So
I understand that, but what I'm saying is I liked his body demeanor. Like, you could see the confidence Forbes was playing with. Also, Noah I started in the slot, you know, over Mikey. He had a couple of good plays out there. You know, special teams, man. That coverage team is fast, physical, and they're dominating. We're kicking the ball to the goal line. Teams are barely getting to the 20, 25-yard line.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's attitude. That's anybody, any place, anytime. Hail to the W.
Talk to you later. Ben Standing next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.